Mark, chapter 5. I left to read and to preach from the accounts of our Lord's personal ministry and try to point out for you some of the lessons that we can learn from these verses. Verse 1 said, and they, that is the Lord Jesus and his disciples, they came over unto the other side of the sea into the land of the Gadarenes. Now what a blessing it is, an indescribable blessing, when our Lord is pleased to visit where we are. And I know immediately you'll think of this, that he's always everywhere. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. That's right. That's exactly right. David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning, thou art there. I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. That's true. But there were times here when our Lord was here on the earth, and there are times now when and where he pleases. When the Lord is pleased to come in grace and mercy and power. For example, when our Lord was here on the earth, wouldn't you have liked to have been in Samaria when he came down there? When he sat on the well and talked to this woman, she went downtown and said, come see a man that's told me everything I have ever done. And they all ran out, and the Lord was pleased to reveal himself. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Well, that wasn't going on everywhere. It was going on in Samaria. Wouldn't you like to have been down by that river in Philippi when Paul came and preach to those ladies? Boy, I'd love to have been sitting. I'd love to have been a little frog just sitting there in the river listening to what Paul said. The Lord was there, and the Lord opened some hearts. And I've been in a few places when the Lord, in a special time of grace and mercy and saving power, has been present. Not every time I preach or everywhere I go, but once in a while. I could name several. I recall one over in North Carolina. I was preaching in a meeting, and the Lord was pleased to reveal himself to some folks during that meeting. Brother Gary Shepherd was 2.5 hours from there. And he heard about it and got in his car and drove over. And I said, well, I'm glad to see you. And this is what he said to me. He said, I hear God's blessing over here, and I want to be where God's blessing. And he stayed throughout the whole meeting. That's right. He visited the Gadarenes, and something took place. And the Lord has been pleased to visit here. And a lot of you sitting here know what took place. Wouldn't you like to see it go on and on and on and on? Someone said to me the other day, we've had 8 babies born in this church in the last year and a half. 8? Is that the count? 8 or 9? Precious little ones have come along. I hope the Lord's pleased to give them what he's given to us, don't you? He visited this place. He visited. May he be pleased to visit us. He doesn't have to. I know it said of one place, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And that's would do no mighty works. He would do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Well, Let's see what happened, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, and the ship landed, and the Lord stepped out on the shore, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all, well, let's stop up there a minute. Here a man ran to meet him. No ordinary man now. No ordinary man. This was a man out of the tombs. A man possessed with demons. And the Lord healed him. Now, any time you read in our Lord's ministry on this earth about him healing the sick and casting out devils and raising the dead, healing the blind and the deaf and making the lame to walk, you don't want to just stop with that particular miracle, because that miracle, those miracles were but pictures of what our Lord came to do. He didn't come just to make the lame walk, because in 20 years he'd be dead anyway, or the blind to see, and a few years he couldn't see anymore. That's right. These are pictures of his mercy and grace to us spiritually. He makes the spiritually dead to live, those possessed with demons to be made clean, and those who cannot hear or see so that they can hear or see. These folks here are pictures of us in our spiritual blindness and helplessness and hopelessness and possessed of Satan and evil spirits. Let me show you that. Turn to Matthew 11. Our Lord makes that very clear here in Matthew 11. Very, very clear. Now listen. In Matthew 11, verse 2, now when John had heard in prison, John was in prison, John the Baptist, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And these disciples came to the Lord Jesus in verse 3, and they said, Art thou he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? And the Lord answered and said, You go show John again those things which you hear and see. Now, remind John of what you see and hear. John knew these things. He had heard all these things, how that the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, John, recall Isaiah's prophecy concerning the Messiah. Recall Isaiah's prophecy, and don't be faithless, but believe. What was Isaiah's prophecy? Turn to Isaiah 35. Here it is. He's talking about when your Lord comes, when the Redeemer comes. In Isaiah 35, verse 3. Now listen. This is the Old Testament promise and prophecy concerning the Messiah. As it's hundreds of years before Christ came, talking about his coming and what will take place. Verse 3, Isaiah 35. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he'll save you. He's coming. Look for him. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Just a bunch of people that had a tough time seeing. No, spiritually blind people are going to see God. Behold him, the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the deaf shall hear. To be unstopped, the ears of the deaf unstopped. And the lame will leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool and thirsty land, springs of water and a habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way that shall be called the way of holiness. My soul. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men. No fool shall not err therein. You can read the rest of that. That's what the Lord says. You go back and tell John now. Refresh his memory of the work of the Messiah, spiritual work. Blessed is he that. And that's the reason this man here, this man that met our Lord. Let's look at him again. Verse 3. There met him a man out of the tombs. Well, that's us. Out of the tombs. By one man's sin, by one man's disobedience, sin and death passed upon all men. For all sins. That's right. By one man's sin, death passed upon all men, because we sinned when Adam sinned. That's right. In Adam we die. We're out of the tombs. That's our dwelling place. You who were dead hath he quickened and given life. That was your study this morning. You who were, hath he quickened who were dead. And then notice the next thing about this man. He had an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. I can't think of a better word than this to describe this sinful nature that lives within us than just plain unclean. That's right. Just unclean. Dead in trespasses and sin, and ruled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Unclean spirit. David said, Lord, purge me and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than the snow. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Notice another thing about this man. Out of the tombs, with an unclean spirit. And he says in verse 3, no man could bind him. No human being could conquer this fellow. There wasn't any power any man had that could control him. That unclean spirit within him. Couldn't control him, couldn't tame him, couldn't change him, couldn't help him. They tried everything they knew. They tried all kinds of things. I just gave up, just left him out there roaming around naked among the tombs. The religious world tries their best to reform this old nature. They use a lot of different things to try to conquer this raging demon. Unclean spirit is born within us and lives within us and makes us the servants to him. But you just can't do it. Or they may subdue him for a while and make him walk straight for a little while. But he'll break out. That's right. He'll break out. Paul said, who, in Romans chapter 7, who is able to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, just one, our Lord Jesus Christ. No man could tame him. And look at verse 5. I skipped this because I wanted to read it by itself. And always, night and day, this man was in the tombs, in the mountain, possessed with demons, with an unclean spirit within him, crying, cutting himself with stones, destroying his soul and body. Not only his, but everybody within reach of him. How many times have you heard someone say to a son or daughter of Adam, don't you realize what you're doing to yourself? But they can't do anything about it. Don't you realize what you're doing to yourself and to others? You're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting your wife, and you're hurting your children, and you're hurting your parents, your mother and dad, you're hurting your grandparents, you're hurting your friends, you're hurting everybody around you. Why don't you straighten up? Well, why doesn't he? Why didn't this man? What? Don't you realize what you're doing? But he's possessed with an unclean spirit. Just unclean. But something happened. Look at verse 6. My. You can look at this rest of the day. But when he saw Jesus, afar off, he ran to him. He literally saw Jesus Christ right there before him. Right there, when he saw him, the sovereign, almighty, omnipotent God. That's who that man saw. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw God's Messiah. He saw the one promised to Adam and Enoch and Abraham and Moses and all through the world. He saw the Lamb of God whose blood was shed. He saw him who said, I speak in righteousness and I'm mighty to save. He saw him whom Isaiah saw in chapter 6. When King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. His glory filled the universe. And around him, all the cherubims and seraphims cried, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. I saw him. No wonder that man ran. He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. And I'll tell you this. He saw the Lord because the Lord was there. The Lord came upon his eyesight and his ears, and he saw him. And our congregations and the people to whom we preach will see this same Lord. They'll see this same Lord if he's in our gospel, if he's in our message, if he's what the gospel we preach and the message we preach is all about. They'll see him in his sovereignty, in his truth, in his power, in his majesty, in his glory, in his mighty to save. They'll see that same Lord if we'll preach him. Whosoever shall call on him shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they haven't never heard? They hear another Jesus, but he can't save. Nobody's going to run to him. They hear another spirit, another gospel. But he that seeth the Son, he that actually by God's grace sees him in his power and glory and majesty and mighty to save, he'll be saved. But not till he sees him. And when he saw Jesus, that's what that said. But when he saw Jesus, nobody else could help him, but he saw one who could. Nobody else could conquer him, but he saw the one who could. Nobody else could meet his need, but he saw the one who could. And he ran. Where? To the disciples? A whole bunch of them there, but he didn't run to them. They couldn't help him. Don't come to me, I can't help you. He didn't wait for an invitation. Preacher, how are they going to get saved if you don't give an invitation? This man didn't get any invitation. Nobody told him to run to the Lord. Nobody told him what to say. Nobody told him what to do. But he saw the Lord, Frank. He saw the Lord. He didn't see the preacher with all of his recipes and plans and what God would like to do for you someday if you just give him a shot at it. He saw the Lord. And you better not get in his way. Just move out of his way now. And he ran. He didn't wait till he fixed himself up. He didn't wait till he cleansed himself. He didn't wait to get rid of the demons. He came just like he was, because he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I don't think I ever saw this Lord in a sermon I ever heard anybody preach. A friend of mine out in California wrote me several years ago, told me this story. He said there's a friend of his was in the rest home out there. He was old and he was about through living and wasn't ready to die. But he told everybody to leave him alone. Don't talk to him about their religion. He didn't want anybody coming talking to him about religion. Well, this friend of mine loved him very much, and he went to see him. And he said, I know what your request is, and I'm not going to talk to you. But tell you what I am going to do. And I want you to do this favor for me, because of the love we have for each other for years. I'm going to leave a tape here, and my tape player and a tape. When you get an opportunity, I want you to listen to that man over in Ashland, Kentucky. What he has to say. That's all I'm asking you to do. I might. Well, he was gone for a while and he finally came back. And the old man had listened to the tape. And this is what he said. Now he said, that kind of God I listen to. I preached a message on sovereign mercy. That kind of God I can listen to, and I believe I can believe in. Have you got some more of those tapes? I'd like to hear some more. He saw the Lord. That's what I'm saying. When will a man worship? When he sees the Lord. This man saw the Lord and ran and worshiped him. He didn't worship the church or the cross or the candles or any of these things. He saw him. He worshiped him. When will a man find salvation? When man or woman, boy or girl, when they see the Lord Jesus Christ who's able to save. And when will they find peace? Well, we're going to read about it right here. Listen. Verse 7. And he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice, saying, this is the demons in him. Now, my friend, certain religions can exist with demons. They can play with them and talk about them and do all whatever they do with them. And demons get along fine with some religion. But when the demons within a man meet the Lord, they rebel. Because even demons own him to be supreme. Even demons believe there's one God. Even demons confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Even demons know that salvation and judgment are in his hands, not in ours. They know that. And that's what these demons said. What have we to do with thee? We can fool with religion because Satan himself is a minister of righteousness, and he has his ministers, and they can play with religion, and they get along pretty well with religion, and they don't mind people having religion, but they won't have Christ. So what have we to do with thee? Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee, leave us alone. Don't torment us. I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11, a moment. Luke, chapter 11. In Luke, chapter 11, verse 20. Now, here's the Lord speaking to those religious fellows. They accused him of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. And this is what he said, Luke 11, verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, by the power of God, with the finger of God, if I cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, that's Satan. When this unclean spirit's in this man and exerts a power over him and influence over him and controls him, and nobody can conquer him. His goods are at peace. That's the reason the devils don't fear today's religion. No power. There's no sovereignty. There's no one mighty to save. So when a fellow, when the Satan arms, keeps his palace, his goods are at peace. But look at verse 22. But when a stronger, Christ said, when a stronger than he comes upon him, the Son of the Most High God, King of kings, Lord of lords, who has all power in heaven, earth, and hell, all power over all flesh, when he comes upon him, he overcomes him, takes away all his armor, all of his defenses, all of the things in which he trusted, and spoils his goods. And he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatter them all. This man here, hopeless and helpless. There's only one can help him, and that's one not only stronger than him, but stronger than the unclean spirit that controls him. That's what's got to take place. Stronger than the unclean spirit that possesses him. We got to have someone undertake for us that Satan cannot defeat. And he defeated Adam. You just keep naming everybody under any circumstance. He defeated all of them. Not this one. Not this one. So verse 8, our Lord said in verse 8, Matthew, Mark 5, come out of him, you unclean spirit. Come out of him. When he saw Jesus, he ran and worshipped him. And those devils within him don't want anything to do with this man. We know who you are. One of them said one time, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Leave us alone. You come out of him. I don't need to do something for God. He needs to do something for me. I'm just like this man. Well, that didn't set well with everybody. Let's see. Now, I'm going to leave alone here the pigs. You mind if I leave that alone? I don't know. I wrote this down about this particular thing. I'm under no liberty to speak here about the Lord sending these demons into those pigs. I don't understand that. I can't dwell on that. But I don't want to, because I don't want to leave you. You leave here talking about what these pigs. I want you to leave here talking about who did something for this man. That's what involves me. I'll learn about the other later. I had a preacher friend in Chattanooga. He brought a message on this, and he called it 2,000 dead pigs and no hot water. Well, you know what everybody left thinking, how they're going to set the hair on those pigs and get it off without that. But we want to talk about the Lord. That's what we want to talk about here. So let's look at verse 15. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and everybody went out to see what it was that was done. What it was that was done. What did they see first? And they came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devils. He wasn't anymore. They saw the man who was possessed of the demons, our Lord, and made him whole. But you know something? I hear people sometimes who don't like to be called sinners. A fellow said one time, you talk about only a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. Well, let me tell you something. Here we are 2,000 years later, looking at this man's life, and how is he described to us? The one who was possessed with demons. He'll always be that way. Rahab the harlot, 2,000 years later, 3,000, we're talking about Rahab the harlot. She's in glory now. But we're talking about what she was before she met the Lord. What about the thief on the cross? Well, everybody knows who he is. How are you going to identify him? He's a believer. He's in glory. But he's a thief on the cross. Without Christ, he's still a thief on the cross, too. What about Mary, out of whom he cast 7 demons? Or the Samaritan woman with the 5 husbands? Or Simon the leper? You just go on and on and on. And Paul never would let anybody forget, I'm the chief of sinners. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. Don't ever run from what you were. Give him the glory that you're not still what you were. That's right. Well, they found him. How'd they found him? Well, they found him sitting. They found him sitting. Not ranting and raving anymore. They found him sitting. At peace with God. At rest. The Lord had given him peace. The Lord did it. He didn't have to buy a book on how to find peace. Christ was his peace. I'm always afraid of these how-to books. Be careful of them now. Your peace will rest in what you do and not in what he did. They found him just that much longer sitting. And they found him clothed. He whom the Lord conquered, he clothed. He clothed him in his righteousness, in his beauty, in his glory. He found him in his right mind. Like the prodigal, he came to himself. He came to himself when he came to Christ. And he that's spiritual is in his right mind. Folks that are not in unity and fellowship with Christ are not in their right mind. This United States of America is not in its right mind. Way out yonder in left field somewhere. But they're not in their right mind. Someday, if God's pleased to do something for us, maybe so, I don't know. Let us read on. And they were afraid. And they were afraid. They weren't afraid of the man. They were afraid of him before, but not now. They had no cause to fear him. They weren't afraid of him. I tell you who they were afraid of. They were afraid of Christ. That's who they were afraid of. And find that by the next few verses. Verse 16, And they that saw it all, when ones that saw him cast the demons out of this man, saw the demons go down into the pigs, saw them run into the water, they told them, when they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the demons, they told the people what the Lord did for this man. You see him sitting clothed in his right mind. Christ did that to him. Christ did that. And they also told him what he did with the pigs and with the demons. So what they do? Verse 17. They looked at Christ and said, why don't you just leave our coast? Go away. Isn't that strange? Won't you just go away? They saw his remarkable work, power, glory. Go away. But now the man whom he healed wanted to go with him. The man in whose heart the Lord had done such a great and marvelous and wonderful work. He didn't want to be separated from God. He won't go wherever you go, I'll go. Like Ruth said, where you go, I'll go. Your people are my people. I dwell where you dwell. I'll be buried where you're buried. I won't go with you, but these people want him gone. I'm going to tell you why. I said yesterday, why did they want him to leave? Through the years, I've been here a long time, preached a long time here, preached this message a long time, who Christ is. What Christ did, why he did it, where he is now, the power and the glory of him who's mighty to save, etc. Salvation's of the Lord, 1,000%. Salvation of the Lord in His planning, in His execution, in His application, in His sustaining power, in His ultimate perfection, to God be the glory. 100%. We don't try to get people saved or keep them saved. We preach Christ and He saves them and keeps them saved. And I've many times had people come from other places. Many, many times. They're disgusted with what they're having to listen to, where they go. So they come here and they sit down. After about one or two services, they've had them meet me here, there, back there. They'll say, I believe I'll join here. Wife and I like you to preach out of the Bible. You open the Bible, read the Bible, and preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. And we want to come here. We'll join you. And they don't understand. But I always tell them, don't join yet. Don't do that. Don't do that. You sit there for months, maybe a year or two. You just sit there and study this message I'm preaching. Study this Christ, the glory of this Christ, the sovereignty of Christ. It's the truth. This message permeates every one of the great old confessions of faith back 500 years ago. This is the truth. This is the truth of the Word. This is the truth that Moses preached and the apostles preached and Christ preached and the reformers preached. This is the truth. But you never heard it. So you sit and listen. Because I tell you this, my friend. Such authority and power of Christ demands commitment, not association. It demands commitment, not joining up. It demands your life. And your heart, and your soul, and you. And you don't want to sign up in some place where you're not going to be happy. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. Lock, stock, and barrel forever. Such authority as these people saw in Christ, they didn't want. And such power and salvation demands surrender. Even your pigs. Or whatever. It demands surrender. It demands submission. Whosoever receives him, submits to him, to them he gave his power to become sons of God. It demands submission. Continual faithfulness as long as you live. And such glory demands worship and obedience in your families, in your commitments with others, in your social life and the people with whom you fellowship, in your business and the way that business is run and conducted and ordered. Christ is our life. Christ is not just a faith to practice, it's a Lord to believe. That's right. And lots of them leave. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for a preacher to read the Bible to me on Sunday and tell me what it means, and then I'll go and do what I please. But that's not it. And these people saw that. This man now, Christ did for him what nobody could do. And he wanted to stay with him. True faith in Christ loves him, reveres him, worships him, obeys him, and walks with him. But these people, their reply was, we'll not have this man reign over us. But that's what this is. And that's the reason they asked him to leave. They knew it wasn't just joining up. It was a change of life. But I tell you this, look at verse 19, verse 18. And when he was coming to the he left. You want him to leave? He'll leave. He got in his ship. You just leave our coast. He did. Wouldn't you hate to live there now? Wouldn't you hate to live with people that refuse the gospel of Christ, the presence of Christ, the glory of Christ? Lots of people do. They live where this Jesus is not welcome. They live where this Jesus is not preached, and he's not worshipped. So he got in his ship, and he said to him, now to that man, he got in his ship, verse 18, and he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might go with him, take me with you. And he told him, he said, suffered him not. He said, you go home to your friends, and you tell them, not what you did for God. You tell them what God did for you. That's a witness. What great things the Lord has done for you and had compassion on you. He had compassion on you. So he departed, and he began to publish in the capitalists how great things the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him. And some people marveled. Great things he's done. I can preach this because he did that for me. Preach it with the greatest of sincerity, honesty.